Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. The Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, next week is the last Sunday of the church year, and after that we move into Advent, which means that today is the last day of our readings out of the book of Hebrews. So even though today's text comes from Hebrews 10, there are in fact 13 chapters in the book. So we'll spend a few minutes looking at today's text and then briefly summarize the final three chapters. Because today's text is the conclusion of what came before, the larger section demonstrating that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament sacrifices. The sacrifices of the temple were inadequate. The idea popped into my head last week during Bible class, but it fits here also. You've probably heard said or seen online that being an adult is nothing more than just deciding what you're going to make for dinner every day for the rest of your life. Or doing laundry, or washing the dishes, maybe even cleaning the bathrooms. Adulthood often feels like a litany of never-ending tasks. Tasks that are never done even when you're finished with them. And Hebrews says, that's what the priests were like in the Old Testament. That's what the sacrifices were like in the Old Testament. Every priest stood there day after day, ritual after ritual, sacrifice after sacrifice. But those sacrifices didn't ultimately take away sin. I mean, just like you can make dinner tonight or tomorrow night, but you'll still be hungry the day after and the day after and the day after. That's not that tonight's dinner is useless, it doesn't do anything. It's just that it's not final. So also the sacrifices in the temple. They did forgive sin. They did remove guilt. But they weren't final. They weren't the ultimate sacrifice. They couldn't truly and finally take away sin. Because the blood of goats and the blood of bulls could never do that. But Jesus can. And so Christ offered once for all a single sacrifice for sins. And when he had done so, he didn't stand at the altar to offer it again and again and again. No, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time when his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. You see, where Jesus forgives sin, there is no longer any need for sacrifice. He is the true bread come down from heaven. Feed on him, you'll never be hungry again. He is the living water. Drink from him, and you'll never thirst. Therefore, we draw near to the throne of grace with confidence because of what Jesus has done. With a clean heart because of what Jesus has done. We live together in the gift of forgiveness, stirring one another up to good works, meeting together in this place to receive our Lord's gifts, gathering around our Lord's word, and encouraging one another more and more as the last day draws near. And so Hebrews encourages us to hold fast to the confession of our hope and to do so without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Our Lord keeps his promises. Christ has been offered the true sacrifice that brings eternal forgiveness and reconciliation, but we don't see it yet. The Hebrews reminds us this has always been the way for the people of God. Hebrews 11 moves on and tells us that God's people have always been called to a life of faith, of being sure of what we hope for and living in the certainty of what we don't yet see. And by faith, Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice. Enoch walked with God. By faith, Sarah conceived. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed his sons, and by faith, Joseph gave directions that his bones should not be left in the land of Egypt, but they should be taken back to Israel. Because by faith, Joseph believed that God's people would not stay in Egypt forever. No, God would fulfill his promise of the land. And we're given the examples of Moses and Rahab and Gideon and David and Samuel and many others. They're all held up as examples of walking in faith. God's people, trusting God's promises, even though we don't see their fulfillment yet. The author of Hebrews encourages us to the same. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every weight, Hebrews says. The author gives us the mental picture of a runner. Or imagine last time you flew somewhere. When they go through all the airline safety instructions before each flight, they always remind you that in the event of an emergency evacuation, leave your luggage behind. When you run from a burning house, you're not supposed to take your TV with you. It's hard to run with stuff in your hands. It slows you down. You get tired out quicker. Even a truck pulling a camper has a harder time getting through the Rocky Mountains than a sports car does. So Hebrews asks us, why do we cling to the things that are ultimately only slowing us down? Why do we hang on to the things of this life as if we could take them to eternity with us? Why do we let guilt we feel over sins that are already forgiven act like glue on the bottom of our shoes? Why do we try to lug our man-made righteousness and good works as if we could somehow gain entrance to the promised rest if we could only lay those things down before the gates, inspire them to open? No, our Lord has always called his people to a life of faith, a life of trusting him. And he's always given his people a word of promise for them to trust. Abraham's word was that he would receive the land and the descendants and the son. Moses' word was that he would return to the mountain of the burning bush and that God would be worshipped there by Moses and all of the congregation of Israel. And David's word was that one of his descendants would establish a house for the Lord and an eternal kingdom. And you, your word, our word is that in baptism we have been united to Jesus. And if we have been united to him in a death like his, of course we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so Hebrews 12 encourages us to walk in newness of life. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Let us not consider the hardships in our lives evidence of God's anger or disapproval, but of his love. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a father does not discipline? I may not reprimand the unruly toddler at the grocery store with his parents, even though he might be out of line. And I might not correct the coarse language of every teenager that I see at the mall, but I will discipline my children. And I do it because I love them. I do it because I want what's best for them. And so Hebrews reminds us that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, because he wants what's best for you. He wants to bring out the best in you. And the best in you, what's best for us, is a life lived in faith toward God and in loving service towards those around us. And so yes, our Lord sends us trials and hardships to prune from us what needs to go and to shape us into his image. Therefore, Hebrews encourages us to endure. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Persevere through life's hardships, because we know what the Lord has in store for us. For we have been brought to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We have been brought to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So Hebrews then concludes in chapter 13 by calling us to live this life, calling us to godly living. Since we have been made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus himself, by his self-sacrifice, his holiness shows up in our lives and defines our relationships. And so we let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality. Remember those who are mistreated. Let marriage be held in honor by all. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Remember your leaders and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so don't be led away by new or diverse or strange teachings. And don't neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So ultimately, the message of Hebrews is one of hope, one of encouragement. Jesus is superior to the angels, for the message that he delivers is an eternal proclamation of forgiveness. Jesus is superior to Moses, because Jesus sets you free not merely from slavery to Egypt, but from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is superior to the priests of the Old Testament because they had to repeat their sacrifices every day, and they had to first make sacrifice for their own sin, but Jesus is holy, and his offering for you is perfect, which makes Jesus superior to the sacrifices themselves, because he is the offering, and his blood does what the blood of beasts could not. He creates lasting, eternal peace between God and his people. That's what Hebrews reminds us. Through Jesus, you have peace with God. And through Jesus, you have the strength to make it through whatever life throws your way. And through Jesus, you have the promise of the eternal Sabbath in the new creation. So may our Lord sustain us in these promises, as he sustained the great cloud of witnesses who came before us. One day we may, together with all his saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. In Jesus' name, amen.